Trendy is presented for the people by Caesars Sportsbook, the greatest sports betting app of all time. Download it, must be 21 years or older. So welcome back to another edition of Trendy presented by Omaha, the show where we like to explore the best ways to wager for casual cappers. And there were no casual cappers here on Wednesday as Nate Lundy went on a complete and utter heater to dominate that day's slate, including hitting Ozuna on an anytime home run bet. And he went yard not once, but twice for my man. So he now is up 17.9, but I'm still at 15.6 because I didn't have a bad day myself, and I've got a bet in my hand. This one is going to go down to the wire. But how great did you feel on Thursday morning, Mr. Lundy?
Oh, feeling very good. Again, remember, the first time I made the appearance on the show, I absolutely sucked eggs on day one and had to come climbing back. So it felt pretty good to have a really solid day, especially from a baseball standpoint, because, you know, I told you my baseball bets there for a couple of weeks were pretty bad. So it's been kind of nice to come climbing back out of that hole and actually be able to enjoy my Cracker Jacks.
Well, I taunted Super Happy Fun Ball, and I suffer the repercussions. You are doing awesome this week. The record's not out of reach for you. You have another day like Wednesday, and the show record is definitely within your grasp. Well, we'll see how it goes.
So what is the show record? What is the point total that I need to be able to achieve here?
Damashek put up a 30 one week.
Damashek hit almost
every single bet he did. It wasn't like he hit like one plus 1800. Like he gave out 15 bets and went like 14 of 15, mainly betting regular season puck. It was pretty amazing to watch.
Yeah, that'll be impossible for me. I know my track record far too well.
Yeah, well, you got a couple of plus monies that you're giving out today. And so it's if you sweep the board, you could definitely hit it.
You
sweeping the board, had one last question for you as a thought exercise. We probably won't have another puck expert on for a couple of weeks, so I had to throw this one at you. With the NBA, the news right now besides the playoffs is dominated with coaching change. We got Darvin Ham being sacrificed out in LA, Vogel getting a little bit of a surprise with the Axe in Phoenix. And this happens every offseason, right? It happens in the NFL. It happens in Major League Baseball. But I know it happens in the NHL, but I also noted that in all the pucks that we've talked here and all the time that I spent talking to you, talking to Sheck, talking to Eddie Spaghetti, I'm not sure anybody has brought up a manager's name a single time. So, and like, my question for you in hockey is, are these guys just sacrificial lambs wearing very designer suits? Do they matter at all? Are they just somebody that you can eject at the end of the year so you have something to point to and blame? Or are they actually influencing the way you'll handicap a match?
No, I think you absolutely see some influence and things like that. There's a couple of things that I would say. First and foremost, you can look at two examples from this season. Look at what happened with Edmonton when they made a change. They made that change in the middle of November. They brought in Knobloch, and, you know, all of a sudden they go on that streak, right, where they're trying to tie the record for the most consecutive wins in the NHL. I think sometimes that is just an overall vibe that happens on the bench and in the room, because I think sometimes you just have somebody that the players have tuned out, and they aren't feeling it. You know, so I think you can get some of that. Same thing if we look at the New York Islanders when they brought in Patrick Waugh this year. That changed a lot for the Islanders. You know, I used to have Patrick on my radio show every week when he was here in Colorado in coaching. And Patrick's just a very likable guy. He's also very intense. He wants to win. And I think sometimes players react to that type of thing. So I think you can actually see some stuff happen where a team will perform better. Where it comes into the capping side of things is when we start talking about line changes, right? So you get a team, for example, that maybe is a little bit slow from an offensive standpoint, or the power play is not doing what it should be doing. They're underperforming. They're not hitting what their expected goals should be, or scoring opportunities should be. And so if they come in and somebody comes in, and this could even be a coach that is established, right? Not somebody that where the change has been made, But if they come in and they're like, okay, we got to shuffle a couple of things around here. We need, you know, our second line is absolutely dormant. We need to move somebody around. We just need to give it a little bit of life and inject a little bit of life in it. That's one of the things that you can watch for from a capping standpoint, because again, it goes back to what we talked about on Wednesday's episode, right? In hockey, every goal has an opportunity for 3 points to be on the table. And so if a line change happens, if all of a sudden they move somebody up from the third line to the second line, back somebody back down, you've got a chance to see some of the periphery of the other guys on that line either benefit or recognize that somebody's in a slump, and so they get bumped down. So yes, I do think that the coaching can make a difference, and it can have an effect from a capping standpoint, but you know, not to the same level of you know, a baseball manager that decides to mix up their lineup.
Well, what about like for an individual game though, right? Like when we go and Covered in Glory, we're doing soccer. Like, I don't know what the pie is in terms of players versus manager, but the manager's like 30, 40% of the pie, because the tactics matter so much to how you'll play the prop market or how you'll play the outcome of the game or the over under. Like, it's just so critical there. Like, I think it's pretty similar for football, right? Like American football. So if I'm looking at who's standing over on the sidelines, like that's going to be another like 30, 35, 40% of how I'll go for an individual game, not like a season total or not like, hey, they're changing midstream, and so now can they be title contenders, but because the scheme is so important, the play calling is so important. And then that pie goes down dramatically for baseball and for the NBA. If I'm talking about an individual game, if you have an NBA guy who can't handle his sub rotations, yeah, I'm going to factor that in. If you have a manager in baseball who can't manage their bullpen, I'm going to factor that in. But it's down to like 5-10% versus where it would be in both forms of football for me. So where would you place that pie for an individual game in hockey for the way that the managers are making their decisions?
I think it's probably in the 20 range, maybe even a little bit lower, but it also will depend on the individual game itself. So for example, making a decision on goaltending, are you going to go with your regular starter? Are we going to roll a backup in there and give him the night off? That obviously has a very big effect, because sometimes it's very obvious, right? A team on a back-to-back, you're not going to use the same goaltender back-to-back. At least most of the time you're not. But there are also some times where there might be a day or two off in between the games, and you're still going to wind up giving your number one the day off for whatever reason. And then the same kind of thing from a line standpoint, if we're dealing with injuries, and I know that affects any sport that we're talking about, right? But if your second line center, is, you know, tweaked his hammy or something like that, and you've got to make some adjustments, I do pay attention to what they're doing, but it's a very minimal amount of difference. So I'm not going to put it up to the level of the 35-40% that you were talking about on the pitch. But at the same time, I do think there is an influence that happens there, in particular when you're making a decision on rotating goaltenders.
So for the 8 teams that are left in the NHL, are all of them fairly equal at the coach's seat? Like, or do you think there's teams left that get a bump in an individual game because of who is at the helm? And are there teams that you're going to fade in an individual game because who's in the other box?
No, at this point, I think it's established. I think the line rotations are established and things like that. So I think at this point, any influence over the well-dressed man behind the bench has already been established over the course of the end of the regular season. And now it's just a matter of execution.
All right, so we got some well-dressed sacrificial lambs that have led their team into the promised land. I saw Toronto axe their coach. I'm sure a lot more of that's coming. I'm sure there's some guys on the hot seat that, depending on their puck luck, they could continue drawing 7 figures, or they could be back down humping an AHL bag before you know it.
Yeah, absolutely. It happens just like it does in any professional sport, and you brought it up right off the top. The coaches have a tendency to be the sacrificial lambs, even if you want to actually point at the guys that made the decisions on the trades, the contracts, the draft picks, things like that. Like, they probably deserve a little bit more blame than they wind up getting. Coaches are always the sacrificial lambs across any sport.
Yep. Well, they're well paid to be so. And so if I can line up for that job, like, go ahead, throw a suit on me and I'll sign up to get fired right
you
away.
You want to give me 6 figures to fire me? Sure. Yeah. Why not?
Best job there is. All right. Well, let's see if we can do a good job today on today's picks. Let's give Caesar some love and then get right into today's action.
You know, when the conversation turns tampers, I always go with my number one as Caesars. Let's talk about them a little bit, shall we? Tickets to the game, merch, meals at iconic restaurants, stays at Caesars Palace. All this can be yours when you bet with Caesars Sportsbook. Win or lose, every bet earns rewards credits, which you can redeem across the empire. Now, if you haven't started yet, register using this code. Listen up, OmahaFull. The word Omaha and the word full. And then you place your first bet up to $1,250. If you win, great. If you keep those winnings, but if you lose, you'll get your stake back as a bonus bet. 21 and over only. Offer valid and must be physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Massachusetts, Maryland, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, and Wyoming. New users and first $10 plus wager only. Must register with eligible promo code. Bet amount of qualifying wager returned only if wager is settled as a loss. Maximum bonus bet, $1,250. Bonus bet expires 14 days after receipt. Tier credits and reward credits will be added to account within 7 days after qualifying wager settles. See Caesars.com/promos for full terms. Void where prohibited. Know when to stop before you start. Gambling problem? Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Colorado, Wyoming, Kansas, affiliated with Kansas Crossing Casino, call 1-800-522-4700. Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STOP. Licensed through Horseshoe, Bossier City, and Harrah's, New Orleans. Massachusetts, call 1-800-327-5050 or visit gamblinghelplinema.org. Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Ohio, Pennsylvania, affiliated with Harrah's, Philadelphia. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER or West Virginia, 1-800-GAMBLER.net. New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
All right, Mr. Lundy, as mentioned at the top of the show, based on your amazing Wednesday that you just threw up, you are winning 17.9 to 15.6. So honors have flipped. You get to take the tee box first and give us your heart pick.
Well, if you've ever seen me tee off first on the golf course, you know that that's a bad idea. And hopefully there are no parked cars anywhere nearby. I've said many, many times, if you ever actually put me on the tee box with the gallery creating the tunnel, somebody's going to the hospital. That's all I know. So I appreciate the fact to be able to tee off first, but chances are I will probably completely shank this one into the woods and have to hit a mulligan. Let's start off on the ice. And I've got a couple of bets on the ice for this evening as we've got two different games. But let me start off here with my heart pick. And that is, I'm going to take the Boston Bruins on the money line against the Florida Panthers this evening. It is at plus money, plus 105 right now for Boston. The Bruins are so good at home. They are that way on home ice. Not the best home record on the season in the NHL in terms of overall, but you just look at the track record of this team and the way that they perform at home, and you're going to give me plus money. That to me just feels way too comfortable for a Bruins team that has been there, done that. So as much as off the top, we were talking about the influence of the coaching, and we could talk about Jim Montgomery with Boston, but this is one where those guys on the ice have just simply done it. So this is my heart pick for today. Florida's a damn good team, as we've talked about. And there is a reason that this series is 1-1 right now. It's not Boston running away with it. It's not Florida running away with it. These are two really evenly matched teams. And so if you're going to give me plus odds on the home team, I'm going to go with my gut. I'm going to take Boston on the money line. They might need an extra frame or two to get it done. This is a game that is poised for overtime. But give me those plus odds on the home team on the Bruins.
Well, shout out to our man, Eddie Spaghetti, who is a diehard Rangers fan, an absolute diehard Rangers fan. And yesterday was his birthday, and he was living and dying with that overtime game after they gave up the goal with the empty net in the last 2 minutes. I was watching, Lundy. Proud of me. I was getting into some playoff hockey.
I'm telling you, it's fun to watch, especially when you get into those overtimes, because that is edge of your seat fun.
Well, Panarin delivered the ultimate birthday gift for our guy, Eddie. So shout out to him and shout out to the Rangers, who are now up 3-0 and either going to send Eddie into hysterics in the finals or send him into therapy for the rest of his life. We'll see how the rest of that series plays out. For my heart pick, I'm going back to it, Lundy. I'm sorry. I'm going down with the ship. I'm going down with the ship. I watched last night's game. I watched the Mavericks come out and beat the Thunder. I lost it in my cred pick. I did not make it my cred pick today, but I've got to make it my heart play. Thunder money line is +140 in game three. And most importantly to me, Lundy, is not what we saw last night, but is actually the schedule the NBA has put forth. Like, this is a incredibly fast turnaround for a playoff game. I was falling asleep towards the end of that one last night because it wrapped up, about midnight here on the East Coast. And then they're going to tip off Saturday in the early game after traveling down to Dallas. And if that favors anybody, I have to feel deep down in my heart that it feels the team who does not have an injured superstar who is looking up Kobe's doctor in Germany. And it does not, and it favors a team that plays like 9 or 10 guys in a rotation and doesn't depend on just one or two people to deliver like 70% of their offensive production. So I said this on Wednesday, and when I was justifying my cred pick, I mean it even more in my heart pick. The Thunder, with the high floor they have because of their consistency, because of their depth, will play we'll get to 100, we'll get to 110, we can push it up to 120 every single time. And the Mavericks, absolutely coming off the quick turnaround after having a hot shooting night, after having Luka look healthy, but who knows how he looks 40 hours later, are capable of throwing up 80 and 90. And their best game, they'll get up to 120. So if they play their best game, the Thunder can beat them. And if they play their worst game, they have no shot whatsoever. And I'm getting plus money at +140.
Yeah, I don't hate this one. I will tell you that I probably would be more likely to take the 3 points, the 3.5 that are there with OKC. I do think this will be a contested game, but I think your logic in terms of the depth of the team, the 8-9 guys, if you've got a quick turnaround, that is an absolutely huge factor to pay attention to.
Well, look, I'm trailing you, so you got the chip stack. So you get the free 3.5, but I got to grab the plus money at +140.
Yeah, I see what you're doing. You're chasing a little bit. You're slightly on tilt. You're not quite on tilt yet, but you're starting to lean into it.
Hey, I'm profitable for the week. I'm up 4 units on the week. So I'm not exactly tilting, but I am chasing, if that makes sense, because of head-to-head gambling is so much more fun than it is just to beat the book.
Yep, absolutely. I get it.
All right, what do you got in head?
All right, I'm going to go down the road again with Marcell Ozuna, but this time I'm not going to risk it on a home run, but I did still find a plus odds opportunity for us with Ozuna, and that is for him to have an RBI, and we can snag that one at +159. Oh my goodness, that is so tasty for a guy that, let's see, here's what we're looking at so far in the month of May. 1, 2, 3, 7 RBI so far in the month of May. So could he go yard again? And I'll be disappointed that I didn't take the chance on him to hit a home run at even higher plus odds. Yes. But what I do believe is +159 is pretty nice from an RBI standpoint, because if you remember when we played the home run on Wednesday, it was +250. I'm looking at less than a dollar difference to just take the RBI. Little bit of a safer play, but still in the profitability, and with the way that this team can score, as we've talked about, and the way that these guys mash, I will absolutely take the chance that, you know, Riley, Acuna, Olsen, somebody is on base in front of him. And the other beauty to this one is we know that you can get the distance. You know you can do it in terms of hitting a sac fly. So I'm opening up a lot of opportunity for him to cash this one for me. And I was frankly really surprised that it was sitting at nearly +160. I would have expected this one, say, 135, 140. So I feel like I'm getting a good 20 cents worth of value here.
I love Ozuna. I love betting on him. I love the quiet brilliance that he brings to that lineup. Like, he kind of reminds me of like Chris Middleton, like 2 or 3 years ago before he got washed a little bit. Like, yes, he lives in the shadow of a superstar. He lived in Giannis's shadow, but he was just putting up amazing production that if he was on any other team and not playing for, you know, an MVP level guy beneath him, like, he would be the story. But that's what Ozuna is to me for the Braves. And as long as he's in the lineup, I am taking his hits. I'm taking his RBIs, and I'm mad that you've also discovered this and are using it against me.
Well, I told you my challenge that I've always had with the Braves is the fact that there's so much hitting talent on that team that I sometimes have a hard time picking who it is that I want to bet on. But right now I'm going to go with the hot hand and what we've seen out of Ozuna.
Yeah, and it's great for handicapping because, you know, they have to adjust the odds up on a Kuna or an Olsen. They don't necessarily have to address it up on Ozuna because he's like the fourth or fifth guy on the team in terms of like public perception. And so the ways that, you know, those other markets might move, you don't have to kind of take that public discount on Ozuna like you probably have to do on a Kuna. So for head, I am going for the trifecta, Nate. This has worked for me twice, and I'm going to see if it works a third time. I am taking an under on a Boston Celtic in this series. And so I am going with Al Horford under 12.5 points and assists minus 125. And just like Tatum and just like Holiday, this is another line where a Celtic has not hit it yet in the playoffs. So until he hits it, I will keep betting it. He's not done it single time since the playoffs have begun. And by the way, now they took that loss, and now that people are hitting the panic button, and now that like people aren't as confident of them making the finals just because of one bad shooting night, they might rush Porzingis back. And if Porzingis comes back in game three, that pushes Horford back down to like the 15 or 20 minutes that he should be getting at this stage of his career. But even if he does end up at like 25 or 28, Mobley is a nightmare for Horford. And even with him going 3 of 7 from the arc, which is a great night for Al Horford at this stage of his career, he didn't clear this mark in game two. He still came up short on 12.5. on points and assists. So you're going to give me a game in which he hits 3 threes and still doesn't get it, and now he's going to do it again, and he might play less, and Mobley's still going to be marking him out. Give it to me. Great player, great career, but the under is a great bet on Saturday.
You have already broken one of the most important rules in the National Basketball Association, Toby, and that is you are required to refer to him as Old Man Horford. I don't make the rules. Okay. I just follow them. That's all it is. Because I think he's been in the league for approximately 3.5 decades. Yeah. It's what it feels like to me, at least, which is part of the reason why I think you're onto something here with the under. And like you said, if you're going to pay attention to what's happened in the playoffs and you're going to follow what the trends are, this is one that you keep doing until it bucks you.
Well, what has bucked you, unfortunately, you might really have set the record, but like this is where variance comes in with Garcia. The two games in which you've been scored on, he was under. On the two games you were not scored on, he was over. And so I hope that you people at home are taking the heater category to heart, and you're betting it every single time that Garcia goes up, and not just the ones where Nate Lundy gets credit.
Yeah, absolutely. And remember, one of the ones that we did not get credit for that happened on Tuesday, his HRR was actually 2.5. And it was at plus money. So in playing that one, you would have been very happy. So yes, you're right. We are sitting at 2-2. I'm going to continue to play it. Why? Because the Texas Rangers are here in Denver for a weekend set against the Colorado Rockies, or as our friend Brad Evans calls them, the Colorado Pebbles. Because look, I think it's 7 out of their last 10 home games they've lost on the run line. Colorado did put it together yesterday afternoon. They managed to win 9-1. And so every now and then that cluster luck comes together for them from a hitting standpoint, because they just exploded all of a sudden in one inning. And I think it was 3 doubles and 2 singles and a home run all in the same inning. So yes, every now and then this team remembers how to actually put bat on ball. I don't expect that to be the case for them as they roll into this weekend. The only caveat I'm going to throw is pay attention to the schedule, folks. The weather here in Denver is not all that great. It's kind of rainy and gross. I don't think that it's going to keep them from getting all three games in. I think they will be able to do that. But it is possible, maybe even this evening, they might get started and then have to suspend it and pick it up again tomorrow, early afternoon or something like that. So pay attention to the schedule. But again, take a guy like Adolis Garcia, who has just mashed so far this season, and put him at altitude. And I like our HRR going into the weekend.
Look, if you're going to cite Brad, you can't just do it once. You got to do it the rest of the show. You got to give me the arg on the Captain Hook. You got to get the shoulders going on the Seduced by the Juice. Don't just give me his pebbles thing. Do the full impersonation.
Well, you and I both know that he enjoys his workouts, and I'm convinced that part of the reason he does that shoulder shimmy is to try to show off the lat pulls and things that he's been doing when he's working out. I think that's part of what it is. But I digress. I will not disparage our good friend much more than that. But yeah, I'm going to keep playing Garcia going into the weekend. And to your point, folks, even though we didn't have the episodes, the ones that I'm not getting scored on is when he's doing it. We're 2-2, including one of them that was at plus odds. So I'm going to keep rolling with our guy.
So I am stuck with Denver, and I'm getting 4.5 tonight at -105, and then I'll get them again on Sunday, probably at a pretty similar number. And so, from your sarcastic good luck with that, I'm guessing I already know the answer to my question. But has time healed any wounds for you guys locally? 2 days later, a little bit more removed from Game 2, has Eddie Hope returned for Friday night, or are you guys, and you specifically, still burying this team?
So here's what's funny: there are a ton of people, including people that I respect, from a sports coverage standpoint here in Denver, that have been talking about on social media, or I've listened to them on their shows or watched what they're doing on YouTube, whatever, that have said, you know, as it's kind of been removed from Game 2, I'm starting to come back around. And I have said to multiple people, including on social media, don't do it, man. Don't do it. Don't get sucked back in. Do not let the fact that there have been 3 days that have passed somehow make you forget what happened. Do I think they're going to lay a massive egg like they did on Monday night? No, I don't think that's going to be the case. But I also believe what we've talked about many times, Jamal Murray is not 100%, both physically and mentally. He is not 100% right now. And there is a reason that they have been such a dynamic duo, him and Joker. And if part of, Batman and Robin are great, but, you know, if Batman's rolling in the Batmobile and Robin's riding up on one of those Lime scooters, you kind of got an issue, okay? Because that's what's happening with this team right now. So I'm not buying it. I don't think it's going to be a sweep. I will tell you that. I think you are going to get your bet either tonight or Sunday, one or the other. I think you're going to be able to do it, but I think it's going to have to be MPJ. I think Aaron Gordon's going to have a big game for them. I think KCP is going to have to do it on both ends of the floor, not just defensively, for Denver for it to happen. But I think this is going to wind up being where Denver can pull off one of them. But if Minnesota sweeps them, A, I won't be surprised, and B, holy cow, is there going to be a hefty conversation and a lot of speculation as we get into the offseason.
Might end up with a sacrificial lamb. The Nuggets are +500 in this series. Don't ask me how I know that.
Don't do it. Don't do it, folks. I'm telling you, do not get, I don't care what Brad says, do not get seduced by that juice.
All right, well, get seduced by your cred pick, because you got one more to give out this week. It is going to be 2 units, and we are in a tight matchup, and you're chasing the record. So given the entire weekend, all the hundreds and thousands of bets available to you, which one did you pick?
Well, the funny part is I know that we have the whole weekend, just like you decided to roll with Game 3 with Oklahoma City. But I don't like to tie up my money, man. I don't even care if it's 48 hours. I roll with stuff that's happening today as we are recording. I believe in the instant payout and the instant karma. I'm going to look at Edmonton and Vancouver tonight. The over under is sitting at a flat 6. If you want to play the over, it's a -120, and that is where I am going with my cred pick. Could we see some goaltending that decides to lock down to a certain extent? Of course we could. Anything like that could wind up happening. But right now, this game is being played in Vancouver. Vancouver has now beaten Edmonton 5 times in a row. And when we look at the totals, we see an 8 on the board. We see a 7 on the board, and we see 2 9s on the board when it comes to the totals between these two teams. Everybody wants to be able to talk about Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl, Zach Hyman, who we talked about for the anytime goal, and he came through for us in that contest on Wednesday. But look, Vancouver can score. Vancouver's a good team. They can keep up with them. And the guys like Brock Besser, Quinn Hughes from the defensive side of things, like this Vancouver team can keep up with them from a scoring standpoint, as evidenced by Wednesday, which was 5-4. So I got to keep playing it. Obviously, the fact that it is sitting at a flat 6 leaves us open for this to be a kiss your sister push. But based on what has happened between these two teams and based on what we're seeing across the board here in the second round, which I talked about on Wednesday, we are seeing a higher level of scoring amongst the final eight teams compared to what we were seeing in the first round, where we were seeing a lot of solid blue line and a lot of goaltending. We are seeing more scoring here in the second round. So I'm going to continue not just the trend in Vancouver, but the trend overall in these playoffs. And I'm going to play the over minus 120.
I did follow through on what I said on Wednesday. So I did not play your Hyman pick because I played the Hyman and the over SGP and rang that bell real well. So that came in at plus 180. Do you like Zach Hyman again tonight? Because I'm tailing you on the over. Do I play the SGP again with him or do I just play the over tonight?
I definitely can look at a couple of different ways to play it. I do think that there's an opportunity for Hyman to score again. He is red hot. The other way you could do it, if you decided you wanted to play it a little bit safe, take him for a point instead of for a goal, right? Just like notch it down. You're not going to get the same payday that you would on the goal, but you could also just take him for the point because, again, guy's going to wind up being involved. There's so much strength within Edmonton and what they're capable of doing from a scoring standpoint that you could play him that way. But I don't think it's a bad idea because red hot, man. Follow the you talk about, you know, following the hot hand when it comes to the NBA, for example, somebody that's red hot from outside the arc. You want to keep playing that kind of thing. Zach Hyman is that way right now. Same thing with Wyatt Johnston for the Dallas Stars. Another kid that is just absolutely red hot right now from a scoring standpoint for Dallas.
Yeah, well, he lit the lamp twice on Wednesday night, and I think he has a chance to do it again tonight. Draisaitl and McDavid for points as well. I don't know, might make it a four-leg parlay. Might have a real parlay party here on Friday night. But you're talking about playing hot hands in hockey. I regret not just playing the cold, dead hands down in Miami on Wednesday. I don't know why I went away from this. It was because of the start time, the Dodgers and the Marlins. I think first pitch was like 3 o'clock and we didn't know if the show would be out in time. But I don't have that problem tonight, so I'm going right back to it. Phillies, run line, -1.5, -120. So now that it's Friday and it's nut crunching time and I really want to beat you, I'm not going to stray away from this thing that is not, there's no such thing as a sure thing, but it feels like a great place to park my credibility pick. I get the hottest team in baseball in Phillies on the road. So they get the extra trip to the plate to cover the line against one of the worst teams in baseball that is already dumping its best players. And it's barely May. I mean, they are way ahead of the curve in that deal with the Padres. They are going to lose way north of 100 games this year, including the one on Friday night. As a consolation to Marlins fans, I would remind them they could join me in betting against their team, but I'm not sure any Marlins fans actually exist.
That's probably true. I think that, you know, we see that a lot down in Florida, right? We see all of the opposition that's there at the Rays games, all the opposition fans that are there when it comes to the Marlins. We experience the same thing here in Denver when it comes to the Rockies. So I completely, there's times when you go to some of these opposing stadiums and it feels a little bit more like a home game than it does for a road team.
Well, for the record, I made this pick without even looking at the pitching matchup date because I don't think it really even matters. But let's throw that in as well. We got Suarez going for the Phillies, who is 6-0 with a 0.72 whip and a 1.72 ERA. On the Marlins side, we have Trevor Rogers, who I assume is the black sheep brother of Captain America, who is 0-5 with a 6.15 ERA and 1.72 whip. And I'm getting almost even money at minus 120. I can't wait to see how I lose this one. It's going to be edge of your seat stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. I will tell you, if you decide that you want to get, you know, if you're out there from a capping standpoint, I like your play. I understand exactly why this is your cred play. But if you want to get yourself into a better payday, go and snag from a pitching standpoint, Ranger Suarez to get the win. You can actually shave some of those points off. It's going to be down closer. I want to say it's around minus 110, minus 115. So I like what you've got with the Phillies, a red hot team taking on Miami. But another way that you can play some of these teams that should have dominance is look at that starting pitcher and take them to get credited with the win, and you're going to shave off some of that.
Smart, which is why you're chasing the record right now, Mr. Lundy. All right, Nate, so yeah, we went through the entire slate, and I've already said I'm going to tail the over in that Oilers-Vancouver game. Which one of my bets are you going to tail or fail?
I'm going to tail the Phillies. I'm going to lay that run line with them on the road. I just think right now the way they're playing, the way the Marlins are losing, You know, I've told everybody that it's a season long play for me that I do the run line for the Rockies whenever they're on the road. But I'm starting to get to the point where I'm going to do the run line for their opposition when they're at home too, as we keep playing this. And I'm starting to feel the same way about Miami, that they're just a bad team, and that we can bet against them. Sox, White Sox, Marlins, Rockies, you're going to make a lot of money fading them. And so I'm going to do the same thing. So my tail for you, absolutely. I'll lay that run line with the Phils.
All right. Good sign for our portfolio management. We're following each other's cred picks. So if we're only going to make one bet, we both believe in the others. You guys should do the same at home. Let's see what we're going to lock in with our guarantees with our Second Guess Express right after this break. All right, Nathaniel, we are back to wrap up the week. And the most red hot team is not the Oilers. It's not, you know, whoever else, the Timberwolves. It's not the Rangers. It's nothing else. The most red hot team in all sports right now is you and I giving out Second Guess Expresses, because absolutely, we cannot lose in this. You hit the no gift on Wednesday, no problem. I said to run back my entire slate from Monday, and that swept the board except for the Celtics loss. And so this is something that we are really, really, really killing it at and getting no credit for whatsoever.
Yeah. Oh, it happens all the time. And so some might think that I'm going to go back to that Boston, Florida with the idea of the no gift again. However, I told you that when it came to what Boston was doing with the no gift, I told you that their record over the course of the regular season was much more when they were on the road. It was skewed towards their road games much more than their home. So that's why I'm not touching it this evening. My Second Guess Express is one that I may actually wind up throwing a bet on, but I'm going to throw it out there as the Second Guess Express. You were talking about the Phillies, the red hot way that they are playing right now. My Second Guess Express is Bryce Harper over 1.5 total bases, which is at plus 139 right now for a payday. That is so tempting for me with as good as this team is, but here's why I have it as my Second Guess Express. His career average against Ranger Suarez is only 200. In 19 plate appearances, 12 of those are either Ks or walks. That's the problem. He's struck out 8 times against him. He's walked 4 times against him. So of those 19 plate appearances, 12 of them go right out the window of my ability to get him on the total bases. And I think that's why we're seeing it so strongly at the plus 139 number. But that said, it's Miami. It's a red hot Phillies team. Harper has been crushing it, as we talked about on Wednesday. So I haven't decided whether I'm going to play this one by the time they get to the first pitch or not, but I can see why the odds makers have put it at the plus odds, because Harper does not have a good record against Trevor Rogers.
Yeah, well, I think the most shocking thing about that entire thing is Rogers has lasted in the league long enough to face Bryce Harper 19 times. I don't think there's going to be 19 more the way that he's trending right now. For my Second Guess Express, I am going to Boston, and I'm going to take the Celtics over on their team total. 110.5 is that total, minus 110. And this is just a matter of variance, right? Like, we saw one of the worst games that we're going to see out of them from a shooting perspective in game 2 last night. And if they shoot even at an average level, particularly as they press back to make sure that they don't go down in a series that they should be laughing their way to victory, then I think 110 is kind of well within their range. Like, if they even hit a normal amount from the three-point line, and even better, if Jason Tatum stops shooting three-pointers and goes to the line and draws some fouls, they should blow past this number. I like them winning this game in like the 120, 108, 118, 104 range, something like that. I think they're going to win by double digits, and that's going to come on the back of their offense more than their defense.
Yeah, I like that. And speaking of team totals, by the way, if I can, I'll throw out a bonus pick for you. I like I like the Pacers to go over their team total tonight. It sits at, I think, 114, 115, right in that range. You know, with a banged up Knicks team, I don't know whether the overall game total will go over like what we talked about on Wednesday. But I do think that the Pacers will hit their team total this evening. I just don't know how much I can trust the Knicks when they've got so many guys that are banged up. But I'll throw that one out there as an extra pick. I do like the Pacers over their team total.
Yeah, that Anunoby injury is massive.
Like, yes,
that
it is.
That cannot be underrated. And so, like, I've cashed on the Knicks twice this week. I've cashed on them several times last week. They will at best be in my Second Guess Express as long as that guy's on the bench, because that is That is a big change to the rotation. If we're doing bonus time, though, go listen to Covered in Glory. I cannot figure out for the life of me why Chelsea is only plus 100 against Nottingham Forest. Nottingham Forest is 17th in the league. They might be safe from relegation by the time they kick off because the two teams ahead of them, if they lose at the 10 a.m. kickoffs, Nottingham Forest is going to be safe. And Chelsea's arguably the third best team in the league right now on current form. Been scoring a ton of goals. And still has something to play for. Their manager is trying to not be a sacrificial lamb. He's trying to keep his job. They need to get into Europe for financial reasons around shirt sponsorship and player recruitment and all that sort of stuff. And it's a plus number. It is the rat line of the year in soccer, and I am going to lose my shirt on it.
Those are always what happened. That's why so many of these, I say all the time that the majority of my bets would fall into the second guess express if we were really being honest, because I try to talk myself into things and then I try to talk myself out of things, and then eventually I just wind up tapping on the place bet button.
Well, I am going to look like Ronaldo after scoring a goal without the six or eight pack abs. It's going to be a gut, but the shirt's going to be on the floor and going to Goodwill or whatever I need to pay for this bet. So, Nate, we love having you on the show. Thank you so much for coming back and doing it. You are a real treasure every time you are here. But until the next time you come back, where should everybody follow you?
Well, let's be honest. The real treasure is Betty White. That was the real treasure of America. I don't come anywhere near that, but I appreciate the kind words. This is always a ton of fun. If folks are looking for me, find me on X at Nate Lundy. Nice and simple. First name, last name, no dots, no underscores, none of that kind of thing. Just at Nate Lundy on X. You'll find the spreadsheet posted up on there where I've got all my picks, including the stuff that we don't talk about on the podcast. And as we've talked about, our sports media company here in Denver, milehighsports.com. You can find all the coverage on the teams. So if you're looking to make some bets on the squads in the Mile High City and around Colorado, you can find it at milehighsports.com.
All right. Well, please go out and do that. Denver, at least for another couple of days, is still the center of the sports universe. We'll see if the Avs and the Nuggets last long enough to pay your bills next week, but they're definitely paying them this week. Here at Extra Points, another great week. As always, go back and listen to everything on -3 with Damashek, three great episodes from him. Then we did a very special Extra Points where Sarah Tiana broke down behind the scenes of the Tom Brady roast. So if you're into behind-the-scenes stories of the funniest sports event of the year, like she told them all for about 50 minutes on Wednesday's episode, definitely go check that out. Lemon Pepper Parlay will be back on next week, but they had another good episode this week, and of course, Covered in Glory. Also, we have our Best Of episode that dropped this morning. You can go and check that out if you only got 30 minutes instead of the time it would take to listen to everything else. So we have another action-packed week next week, more playoffs in the NBA and the NHL, full slate of baseball, final week of the year for the Premier League. It's going to be another great sports week, and we hope you'll come back and join us. So for everybody at the Extra Points Network, and for Nate Lundy, the Betty White of Trendy, we will see you next week. Take care, everyone.